I pray that Spirit of the Lord be with us today, that we might be able to communicate by the Spirit. I want to share in the beginning that beautiful letter, very special letter, and I would like to quote, "My dear children, how well I remember the day you left my side and ventured forth on your mission on earth. That day I, clothed with the spirit of love and tenderly, sent you off to school. My thoughts are with you now and always. Oh, how I love you. I know the grief and pain as well as the joy and happiness you experienced. I know your school is full of ugliness and temptations, as well as beauty. But remember, all that I have is yours. If you come back to see me once again, each of you went into the new adventure with a talent buried inside you. Bring forth these talents, develop them and share them, and give what is yours to give with all your hearts. Covet not one another's gifts. You, my children of Zion, have many blessings that my other children do not have. You share my holy priesthood. You may go to the temple to learn eternal truths. You bear your children with your knowledge that they shall be yours forever and ever. If you live worthy to come back to see me. But remember, where much is given, much is expected. There are many among you who are hunger for food and need care. Give yourselves until you are drained of strength and give more. There are many among you who hunger for food and thirst for my word. Go forth with your humble spirits and give my message in their homes. Pour out my good tidings. Restore faith where it has been lost. Give them my spoken words. And also, my beloved children, Zion, let charity and love be your constant companions. Come to me often in prayer. Be humble and faithful. Be diligent in my work, and my kingdom shall be yours forever. Oh, how I love you, and I miss you so very much. And oh, how I'm looking forward to your return again to me and to your mother. With all my love, your Father in heaven." In the prophecy made by President John Taylor regarding the great future of Latter-day Saints and their destiny, he said, "You will see the day that Zion will be far ahead of the outside of the world in every pertaining to learning of every kind as we are today in regards to religious matters. God expects Zion to become the praise and glory of the whole earth, so that kings in the hearing of her fame will come and gaze on her glory. As I see our vast congregation of the youth of Zion today, you young people, with a full of talent, potential for every walks of life, and ready to take the leadership. This strong leadership position of excellence until the people of the world and their eyes to be upon us, I can see in you the greatest potential that church has ever had, such as in the music, mathematics, and all the sciences, and arts and sports and politics, and the farms and agriculture, and the medical fields and then oceanics and business and doctors and of every kind and every technology field." President Kimball expressed once his vision for the youth of the church as follows: "Members of the church should be peers of this superior to any others in a natural ability. Extended training and plus the Holy Spirit, which should bring them the light and truth with the hundreds of men of God and the ladies of God also, and their associates so blessed, we have the base of for an increasingly efficient and worthy copes of talent. Close quote. I also remember the wonderful pronouncement the President Wilford Woodruff once said, "The Lord preserved the noble spirits over 6,000 years in order to accomplish the latter-day work. As I see you beautiful people here today and stand before you, my mind traces back to when the prophet Moroni took the record of the Jaredites, and which consisted of the 24 plates founded by people of Limhi in the days of King Mosiah. As a Moroni was abridging the writings of Ether, he wrote how the people of the Jaredites came and guided by the Lord to this continent, to the promised land. So did like his own forefathers, Lehi, came the same way. And he said, and the Lord would not suffer that they should stop beyond the sea in the wilderness, but he would that they should come forth even unto the land of promise, which was choice above all other lands, which the Lord God had preserved for the righteous people." I want to note two sentences here today. The land of promise, which was a choice above all other lands. Another one is the Lord has preserved for the righteous people for this land. What a blessing, my brothers and sisters, that you can live, in fact, in this land, the land of promise, which was and which is the above all other lands. And this land was preserved by the Lord, our God, for the righteous people. How blessed you are that you're born in this land. You are among this righteous people. And when the Moroni said in the same thing in the verse 9, he said, "And now we behold the decrees of the God concerning this land, and this is a land of promise. Whatsoever the nation shall possess, it shall serve God, for they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon him. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened iniquity." Therefore, brothers and sisters, Moroni is expressing his concern, "And whosoever possessed or live in this land should serve God, and true and only true God." And he also repeatedly emphasized in the verse 10, "For behold, this is the land which is a choice above all other lands. Wherefore, he that doth possess it shall serve God." And he then also emphasized, verse 12, "Behold, this is a choice land, and whatsoever the nation shall possess it, shall be free from bondage and from the captivities, and from all other nations under the heaven, if they will but serve God and of the land, who is the Jesus Christ." The Lord Jesus himself, after his resurrection, and he appeared to the Nephites and made a most profound statement about you folks. "Which blessings upon the Gentile shall make them mighty above all." Mighty above all. And he also repeated, "For it is the wisdom of the Father that they should be established in this land and be set up as a free people by the power of the Father." This the Savior himself is talking about. What a glorious promise this is, true, the land of promise, that you're the greatest chosen generation. It has been said by someone, the greatest artist was once asked by his audience, which of his art is the most productions was the most greatest? He said, the next is going to be the best. To me, the next is you, the wonderful people, young generation of this great church. Brothers and sisters, the best and the greatest and the most powerful and the most beautiful has not yet been composed or produced or come about. Who will be like the Richard Wagner, the German composer? Who will be the Wordsworth for the next generation? Or George Bernard Shaw, Irish dramatist and critic, who can be exceeded farther than Shakespeare? Who will be the position of the Mr. Reagan for tomorrow, for this nation? Who will be the greatest historian and archaeologist like Hugh Nibley, or scientist like a Dr. Henry Eyring? Or the successful businessman like a Brother Marriott, or a successful cabinet member, Ezra Taft Benson, or David Kennedy, or Dr. T.H. Bell. I firmly believe that equal to becoming the greatest artist, or statesman, or the artist of the artist, would be or become a mother's and a father's like those Hillerman's 2,000 stripping soldiers. You young ladies, you can be a mother like the mothers of this great mother, mothers of these young people. What a faith these mothers taught to these young men, and I believe, and of course to young ladies too. The scriptures recorded tremendous teachings taught to them by their parents, especially mother. Quote, "And I say unto you, my beloved brother Moroni, that never had I seen so great courage, nay, not among all the Nephites. For as I have ever called them by sons, for they were all of them are very young, even so that they said unto me, Father, behold, our God is with us, and he will not suffer that will fail, should fail. Then let us go forth. Now they never had fought, yet they did not fear death, and they did think more upon the liberty of their fathers than they did upon their lives. Yea, they had been taught by their mothers that if they did not doubt, God would deliver them." Close quote. What a faith of their mothers had taught them, because they had not doubted God. I hope we can learn that. The same verse 48, "And they rehearse unto me the words of their mothers, saying, we do not doubt, nor mothers knew it." Such a miraculous strength and power, and a mighty power and a faith that we can cultivate, and then we can pass on to the next generation. They were blessed to be preserved, and they were violent, the men of God, these young men. We need two good statesmen like these, a stripping young man who have a firm faith and can raise in young generations for the future of this great church and this beautiful land of America, and for the people of the world. We need a young man and a young woman, a firm faith and testimony, who will write and compose and produce in good motion pictures and novels, music, because the world is moving in the wrong direction. My brothers and sisters, how can we accomplish these great, heavy, and awesome tasks? To please the Lord and glorify his holy name. in what way we can be the mediator to share this everlasting truth and knowledge, so that people will say, like a Savior expressed, "They shall come, they shall be believing me that I am the Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and shall pray unto the Father in my name." In what way, brothers and sisters, should we cultivate our inner power? I call it inner power and a faith. Here are the few suggestions that I want to present it to you today. One, first, be ye clean. The Savior, when he visiting the Nephites, he expressed his grave concern and pleaded with us the following. And he said, "And then shall cry, go forth, depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from thence, touch not that which is unclean. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean, that bear the vessel of the Lord." This is what I see. The greatest challenge to all of us is that the Savior said, "Depart ye, depart ye, and touch not that which is unclean, because they are the vessel of the Lord, because we are the vessel of the Lord." If we can do that, we shall be exalted in every walk of life. When you pursue the academic excellence and the way of the excellence, I see the same thing, the voice of the Lord, "Do not touch the worldly teaching." Second, be sanctified. In another place, the Savior expressed the following: "Be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that he may stand spotless before me at the last day." In a Doctrine and Covenant, Savior said, "But no man is possessed of all things except he be purified and cleansed from all sin." If he are purified and cleansed from all sin, he shall ask whatsoever you in the name of Jesus, it shall be done. What a promise we have here today. As we cleanse and purify our lives, the Savior said, "Whatsoever we will ask in his holy name, it shall be done." Then why do we have a sanctifier our lives, brothers and sisters? As we sanctify our lives, I firmly believe our minds become the single to the glory of God. And then in the 80th section, the Doctrine and Covenant, the Savior said, "Therefore, sanctify yourselves, yea, purify your hearts, and cleanse your hands and your feet before me." As we cleanse our lives, our thoughts, our minds, our actions, the Savior promised that whosoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. That is expedient for you. Savior's promise a long time ago, "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he works that I do, shall he do also the greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that I do, that the Father may be glorified in Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And in the day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Brothers and sisters, these are a great promise. As we sanctify and purify our thoughts, our action, our body, our mind, that's the promise. Thirdly, we must be taught from on high. though we pursue the excellence of academic. May I share with another powerful promise of the Lord in the Doctrine and Covenant? And ye are to be taught from on high. Sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be endowed with a power that ye may give, even as I have spoken. What a mighty promise of the Lord here. In order to behave and to think, to meditate and to ponder, and to invent and to find, to plan, to study and to cultivate, the Savior's warning is that we must be taught from on high. And then he said, therefore, ye must sanctify ourselves, and then ye shall be endowed with the power. The magnitude of power will bestow upon us like a dew from above. And the promise of the Lord is we may give even as I have spoken. In other words, we may plan, we may study, we may act, we may behave, and then we may ponder, we may think, we may cultivate, and we may move forward, and we may study, and we may pray, even as the Lord did. As we become cleansed and sanctified before the Lord, then as we are anxiously engaged in the good cause, do many things of their own free will, and bring to pass much righteousness for the God's glory. Then the Lord said, power within us. I do believe you wonderful people, you do have that power. As we become cleansed and purified before the Lord, the Savior's promise is that power will come upon him. What a magnitude of endowment that you can receive from the Lord. Fourthly, we must know our Savior. Brothers and sisters, how then we can become cleansed? How we can know and cleanse before him? How we can cleanse our lives in order to sanctify our lives? We must know Jesus Christ. The Savior once said, and this is a life eternal, that they might know thee, the only God, true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Brothers and sisters, in order to come close to him, we must cultivate and feel his love, feel his feeling, peace, his spirit, his comforting voice, his peace and joy, his spirit, and his voice, and his glory, and his order, and great atoning power, and mercy, and justice. Savior said, if thou love me, and keep my commandments. Are you keeping, and are we keeping, truly? Keeping the will of the Father and the Son of Jesus Christ, we will continue to cleanse, and we can cultivate continually to ponder and to learn and to study and especially listen to his voice each day. We will continue. And I suggest every morning hour, we must write our journals, as we must always do, to put ourselves in a reverent attitude in a prayer, and to seek for the revelation of the Lord, and to seek for the spirit of prophecy, like the sons of Mosiah seeked. And the same way, I do believe the prayer is a divine fellowship with the Father. If we miss that every morning, we're missing the most greatest priority. The someone said, I rise early, and I wash my body, and I put my new linen, and I subdue myself before the Lord, and I wait for the inspiration of the Lord. I want you, brethren, that we will cultivate in a special morning hour, and with the maintain with our trust in the Lord, and prayer, and fasting, and a giving our commitment, and we can cultivate those things. Then, as we keep the covenants and doctrines and of the teachings, we must continually reverent before the Lord. Take the sacred ordinance of the gospel and then learn the doctrine each day, especially in the morning. Cultivate those, the spiritual inner power and the sensitivity to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Start with the morning. And I challenge to you to read one chapter a day or more. Not only missionary time. Then we will continue to cleanse our lives. Fifth, cultivate the most inner sensitivity, this prompting of the Holy Spirit. How we can walk towards the Savior each day, feel His Spirit, feel His love, and feel His joy, feel His love and the sensitivities towards us, and the peace and comfort and the sweet joy, and the joy of His Spirit, and the power and His glory. The Savior's promises, "And now I go unto the Father. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever things ye shall ask the Father in my name shall be given unto you." Brothers and sisters, therefore, we shall ask and seek and feel, cultivate, and each day, each moment. Wherefore the Savior said, "He is the possessor of all things are subject unto us, both in heaven and earth." Likewise, when we become clean heart, pure hearts, and pure mind, holy mind, all things are subject unto us, both in heaven and on earth. Even the life and the light and the spirit and power is sent forth by the will of the Father through the Jesus Christ, His Son. What a blessing. What a blessing. As we cultivate these things, we will become like a Savior, and we can truly walk towards Him, and we can feel His great atoning power. And as we do so, the Spirit will prevail and permeate, and we feel like a light of the Savior. The Spirit and power will be sent by the will of the Father through Jesus Christ to each of us. Six, and we must such an unwaveringness of the faith, commitment. And I humbly believe as we these things, Heavenly Father will bless us and like the blessed, the Nephi, the sons of Helaman. Because of the time, I suggest you, brethren, to read Helaman chapter 10 and the verse 4 and 10. Just the one part. "Behold, I give unto you power, that whatsoever ye shall seal upon the earth shall be sealed in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall lose on earth shall lose in heaven, and thus shall ye have power among this people. And thus, if he shall say unto this temple, it shall be rent in twain, and it shall be done. And if he shall say unto this the mountains, be thou cast down, become smooth, it shall be done. And behold, if he shall say that God shall smite this people, it shall become to pass. It shall come to pass." Because that power, the faith like Nephi, the sons of Helaman, if we can truly receive that faith and really exercise it as we go forth into the world. Last things, this search the Scriptures. I pray that while you are studying in this campus, you may also learn the words of the Lord while you are pursuing academic excellence. I pray that you will obtain a knowledge and a sound understanding and truth of the gospel by the diligent study in the searching of the Scriptures. And my brothers and sisters, let us study the Scriptures. I challenge you again, one chapter a day, if all possible. Because you know the words of the Lord, and we can be so effective servant of the Lord, I pray that Because that you cultivated that power within you, you may be able to bring many to the knowledge of this great Heavenly Father's truth. And so that we must, before we share, we must truly cultivate so that we will serve God. Now, the last. 8th, learn to secret of the service, the life which is a service. May we learn the secret of service, the service of love, which means that you have learned the secret of life. Let's go from glory to glory, our journey ever onward and upward until, brothers and sisters, we feel this earth with a joy of tears and happiness because we have purified and sanctified our lives and our service for someone's happiness. Let us come out from depths of grief and pain and sorrow, loneliness and selfishness, sickness and discouragement, by loving the quality of the pure love of Christ, because we love the Lord. Giving pure service for other people, for other children of our Heavenly Father, having within us the true love of Christ. Brothers and sisters, heighten your capacity to give of yourself to the most worthwhile cause. Yes, the celestial criteria means your service, not by status or degrees. Close yourself and your most warm and a spiritual and a most delightful close, which is the love of the Savior. I stand before you and bear my testimony, and this is the work of the Lord. And I stand before you, and I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I stood where Jesus walked, and I felt his spirit when I stood the upper room where he held the supper. As we went to the Garden of Gethsemane, I felt his spirit. As I stood in a garden tomb, I cried with the joy of his love. I know that he lives, and this is his work. I know that Jesus is our master. I testify to you that I know that he lives in the sacred name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.